Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Olympic champion Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya, who crushed the marathon world record on Sunday in Berlin, Germany. Kipchoge clocked 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds, bettering the previous mark by 1 minute and 8 seconds set by fellow Kenyan Dennis Kimeto at the same Berlin race in 2014. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with new marathon world record holder Eliud Kipchoge earlier Monday in Berlin. Here's Andy.
Well, Eliud, we're talking about, I think, 23 hours after you stood on the start line of the Berlin Marathon. Have you had time to reflect on the measure of your achievement, to take 1 minute 18 seconds off the world record in the marathon? I mean, that really, I think I equate that with the moon landing. It's not just a few seconds, it's 1 minute 18. I mean, how do you feel about that now, almost a day later?
I feel good. I tried to reflect for last night, and I could see how things will happen. I tried to go to watch the few last kilometers of the race. And
is it too soon for you to be thinking, and of course with your coach Patrick saying, well, there's room for improvement on that 2:01:39?
It is too hard to do that, because it was only some few hours since I ran the fastest time, and I don't think it's good to think about it. I think the core thing now is to make sure I recover fully. Yes.
I was very struck at the end of the press conference after the race. You made very strongly a point about you felt part of a community. I think you said something like, you know, in Kenya we are in a community, I'm part of a community, and you went on to thank Coach Patrick Sang, but the runners you train with and everybody. And looking at your Twitter feed, you go into great detail about you feel part of this. And also you said that in terms of future plans, you're going to discuss this with all those in the community. Is that right in what I understood?
Yes, it's right. In sport, you need to have a good team. That's why I'm going with the discussion about when I'm going to run is I'm going to have a full discussion with the management, with the sponsor, with the technical team, or that's the coaching team. That's part of the team whereby they really hold me in their hands.
Has it taken you time to bring that team together, you and Patrick Sang say, because you've been a long-term partnership, you and Patrick, but to assemble a team that meets all your needs, because you talk about recovery and preparation as well?
It's not a one-day event. Of course, to get a good team and a positive team, it takes ages. But I'm lucky, and we are lucky as a global sports community to be helping people who are really thinking in a positive way. And we have come a long way. That's why we're helping our teammates, that whereby we're training together and we try to think together. We have a coaching system. We have management system. We have sponsorship systems. And above all, we have the medical system whereby they handle us with massage and everything.
You are the Olympic marathon champion. Tokyo 2020 is getting closer every day. It's in your thoughts. To prepare for a championship marathon, do you prepare any differently compared to the big city races where, okay, there are pacemakers and time is a big factor in terms of success, but championship race, Olympics above all, it's all about the gold medal, isn't it?
It's actually about gold medal, but preparation is the same. That's why you should be comfortable either with the pacemakers or without the pacemakers. And the preparation, I can say, is the same.
Is that your ultimate ambition, to win again at the Olympic marathon, Tokyo 2020?
So, although still far, but it's at the back of my mind that one, I will really assemble myself in Tokyo.
And before the Olympics, next year is World Championship year in Doha. Would at this time, do you have any thoughts about running the next year's World Championship marathon?
No, I don't have any plan for now, but it's by the way that the Olympics, because I'm still an Olympic champion, that I feel like defending the title. But with the next marathon and World Championships, I have not that plan. It's still highly for me to really say I'm going to do this and this. it can do, it can work.
Well, Elliot, it's still relatively early on a Monday morning in Berlin. Thank you. I think everybody who was lucky enough to be here was privileged to see that achievement. It was quite stupendous. We just watch and are eager to see where you next run and what you can next run. Elliot Kipchoge, the world marathon record holder and Olympic champion, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Olympic champion Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya, the new world record holder in the marathon. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Meanwhile, Eliud Kipchoge wasn't the only athlete setting a world record on Sunday. Competing on home soil in France, world champion Kevin Mayer set a decathlon world record with a total of 9,126 points. The previous record of 9,045 points was set by American Ashton Eaton at the 2015 World Championships in Beijing, China. Let's go back to Berlin now. Kenyan athletes Eliud Kipchoge and Gladys Cherono successfully defended their men's and women's titles in the German capital. The energetic Andy Edwards also caught up with women's champion Gladys Cherono. Once again, here's Andy.
Gladys, you've completed your hat-trick of Berlin wins. And you're also the course record 218. Does the Berlin course get easier? I mean, it's never easy, but you're so experienced now. Yeah. How do you find running in Berlin?
I'm happy to be in Berlin to win for the third time. So Berlin is a nice place, and then I'm so happy, grateful to break the course record of this. My expectation was to run good because I know what I have done in my training. It was so good. So I knew that I will run good.
Did it help you in a sense? There was a lot of concentration on Tirunesh Dibaba, who's also a very fine runner, as you are, and people were talking about, can she break the world record? So we know you'd won it Berlin twice, but in a way, to be honest, there was less talk about you. So could you just relax and do your race?
Yeah, you know, I was not looking for someone. I was not. I was just running my race. So that's what makes me to win this race. I concentrate. I was not, because I never came here to say I want to run world record. I was just looking for my personal best. So that's why make me to run good.
Well, congratulations on that. Just thinking ahead, I mean, we're getting closer to the Olympics, Tokyo 2020. Would that also be a goal for you? I know you have to get selected, and that's not always simple.
Yeah, you know, in Kenya, we have many athletes, so if they will select me to go for World Championship, it will be okay for me.
All the best for the future. And Gladys Cherono, yet again, third time champion in Berlin. Well done, Gladys. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with three-time Berlin Marathon women's champion Gladys Cherono. Andy spoke with Gladys in Berlin, Germany. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
Nigeria has qualified for next year's FIBA Basketball World Cup in China, as we hear now from reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos.
Nigeria's men basketball national team, known as the Tigers, booked the FIBA World Cup ticket after winning 9 matches in 4 basketball windows for African countries. In the fourth window for Group F, Nigeria won all matches against Cote d'Ivoire, Central African Republic and Senegal. Mali and Rwanda also played in the group. Alex Nwora is the coach of the Nigerian national team. He says the team will prepare for the next FIBA basketball window scheduled for February in 2019.
We're happy. We still have unfinished business. We still have a couple more games and we'll play in the next window. You know, we're trying to make sure that we do everything we can do to see if we can go undefeated. Same, we're playing the same teams. Now we're going to play away. So it's going to be a good challenge for us playing on the road. And, you know, it might be a different team because of availability of some of these players.
The captain of the Nigerian team, Ike Diogu, says the World Cup in China will be tough.
Because we're playing against the best teams in the world, including Team USA, Spain, you know, all the top European teams. So we're ready for the challenge and we're excited for it.
Some teams that participated in the Lagos tournament say they have learned some lessons. Malaye Ndoye is the captain of Team Senegal.
We're going to learn from his game, you know, what we need to work to get to this level of Nigeria if you want to beat them, you know, to be one of the best in Africa. It helps everybody and we take chances from that. And, you know, it's a positive thing, you know, not to lose, but to know what we need to do. And like I said, we have our goal set. We know we need just one more game to win, one more game to qualify. And that's going to still our main goal.
Senegal needs to win one more match in the next FIBA window tournament in February next year to get one of the 5 African World Cup slots. Nigeria and Tunisia have already qualified for the FIBA World Cup. This is Mike Mbonye for the Sunny Side of Sports in Lagos.
Thanks, Iron Mike. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now for a look at some of the weekend European club football highlights is reporter Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Ivorian defender Saul Bamba shocked Chelsea with Cardiff's first away goal of the season. But Eden Hazard's treble and a late goal by Willian ensured a 4-1 victory for the West London club. Chelsea's manager Mauricio Sarri held the Belgian wizard saying, and I quote, "I thought Hazard was one of the best players in Europe, but now I'm changing my mind. He's the best." Saturday's victory means league leaders Chelsea have started a Premier League season with 5 successive wins for the 4th time and first since 2010. In a strange twist of events, Sonny, another Ivorian star, Wilfred Zaha, provided another reminder of his importance to Crystal Palace with a stunning goal in a 1-0 win at struggling Huddersfield. The 25-year-old winger picked the ball up just inside the Huddersfield half in what appeared to be an unthreatening situation, used his pace and trickery to reach the edge of the box before cutting inside to leave 2 defenders in his wake and curling in a powerful strike that left the ball flying in the top corner.
Prince, those performances by Zaha and Bamba sounds like the Ivorians were on a conquering mission over the weekend, Prince. And true to their quest, they did it in style. Prince, how about Manchester United? Some relief for Mourinho?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The extraordinary or the special one, Jose Mourinho, proved his doubters and critics wrong after Manchester United withstood intense late pressure to claim a 2-1 away victory from an impressive Watford side. Belgian striker Romelu Lukaku and defender Chris Smalling gave the Red Devils a 2-goal lead in the first half, while Watford pulled a goal back in the second half through Andre Gray. The Red Devils, who had endured a miserable start to the season, losing 2 of their first 4 matches, have now moved to 8th in the standings, while Watford lie in 4th. In another titanic clash, goals from Gini Wijnaldum and Brazilian striker Firmino ensured Liverpool maintained their perfect start to the season after beating Tottenham 2-1 to win a 5th straight league game at the start of the season for the first time since 1990. Eric Lamela pulled one back for Tottenham in stoppage time, but it was too late to stop the Reds. Leroy Sané, David Silva and Raheem Sterling were on target as Manchester City put Fulham to the sword by slaying them 3-0, while Arsenal secured a 3rd consecutive victory after edging out Newcastle 2-1 at St. James Park.
Prince, let's go to Italy now. I understand Cristiano Ronaldo has ended a Juventus gold drought.
No doubt, Sonny. The day belonged to 5-time Ballon d'Or winner CR7 as he came in good style, scoring twice as Juve beat Sassuolo 2-1. The 33-year-old Portuguese winger had failed to score in his first 3 matches since moving from Real Madrid, and his 2 goals has cemented Juve's position on top of the Serie A table. Moving to Spain, goals from Luis Suarez and French forward Ousmane Dembele, who's of Malian descent, ensured Barcelona maintained their 100% start to the season after coming back from behind to grab a 2-1 win at Real Sociedad. Real Madrid dropped points for the first time this season after playing to a scintillating 1-1 draw against Atletico Bilbao. While 19-year-old Boyanga says fired home from 10 yards in the last minute of injury time for Atletico Madrid to force a 1-1 draw against Eibar.
Prince, you told us about those Ivorian players producing nicely in England. What about in France, Prince? Any African players on the score sheet?
Oh yes, of course, Sonny. Ivorian winger Nicolas Pepe scored a hat-trick, including two penalties, which he also won, to give Lille a 3-2 win at Amiens. AS Monaco drew 1-1 at Toulouse, while Congolese midfielder Pris Onyangwe's goal secured a 2-2 draw for Caen against Olympique Lyon. League leaders Paris Saint-Germain cruised past Saint-Étienne to win 4-0, while Marseille moved to second with a convincing 4-0 win over Guingamp. And finally, in Germany, American musician will.i.am was among the 75,000-strong crowd at the Allianz Arena as league leaders Bayern Munich extinguished Bayer Leverkusen 3-1 on Saturday. The musician, who's one of the founding members of the Black Eyed Peas, has been traveling around Europe with the band to promote their first studio album, Masters of the Sun, in 8 years. After the victory, the music maestro, whose birth name is William James Adams Jr., said, and I quote, "I've always dreamed of playing a concert in the stadium. So after coming here, my dreams of playing here are even bigger. Being a part of this, being in the crowd when Bayern was playing, the team, the offense and defense, the fans, the energy and the love was superb. I'm Prince Nesta. Let me sing my way back to you, Sonny."
Where is the love? Sing it, Prince! Sing it! That's reporter Prince Nesta bringing it and singing it with a roundup of European club football highlights. I love it! I love it! The Black Eyed Peas! I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, the stage is set for the Davis Cup final between Croatia and host France. Joining us with more details is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Croatia just barely eked out a win over the United States to advance to the Davis Cup final match. On Sunday, the two nations battled it out for 4 hours and 6 minutes in a deciding match between 18th-ranked Croatian Borna Coric and 40th-ranked American Francis Tiafoe. Coric fought back from 2 sets to 1 down to defeat Tiafoe in 5 sets and give Croatia a 3-2 victory over the United States. Coric held an on-court celebration with his teammates and spoke about his fight to win the semifinal match.
It was, I don't know what to say, you know, this was the most epic match of my whole life. You know, I didn't start good, then I started to play unbelievable well, then I was 5-1 up, had many set points, and then when everyone thought it's basically over. Also me, but how some I did turn it around. So yeah, thank you.
Croatia won its only Davis Cup title in 2005 and has secured a spot in the final for the second time in 3 years. And as the Davis Cup is considered the World Cup of tennis, it's only fitting that the two finalists in this year's World Cup should meet again on the tennis court. Croatia will again face France, the defending champions at the Davis Cup. France defeated Spain in their semifinal match and will host the final from November 23rd to the 25th. The United States team was without their top two players. Jack Sock skipped the Davis Cup because of a hip injury that began to bother him at the U.S. Open. And John Isner shifted his focus to his family after his U.S. Open loss to Argentine Juan Martín del Potro. Isner's wife is expected to give birth to their first child on September 22nd. At 20 years old, Francis Tiafoe is the youngest player to be nominated to a U.S. Davis Cup team since 2010. And he, like Borna Coric, is considered to be a future star of the sport. Last year, Tiafoe visited our VOA headquarters here in Washington and was asked whether he was interested in playing Davis Cup for the United States.
Obviously, love to hold the Davis Cup trophy. I think, those events are huge. You know, we get a good team behind us and we get a win. That'll be huge for American tennis, obviously. Stop the doubt with American fans and saying that, you know, this, that, and the other. But, whenever my ranking's high enough, I'll definitely be on Davis Cup.
Francis Tiafoe showed plenty of grit in his Davis Cup debut for the USA team. The Americans played their first semifinal match since 2012 and last reached a final in 2007. This tournament will be the end of an era of sorts. Last month, the International Tennis Federation received a 2/3 majority vote to make some radical changes to the Davis Cup. Currently, the competition is played over 4 weekends throughout the year. Next year, teams will play 1 week in February to advance to the championship held in November. Davis Cup matches will also be shortened from best of 5 sets to best of 3. The new makeover has been heavily criticized, citing the tournament's prestigious tradition. But there are players who insist battling it out for 5 sets takes too much of a physical and emotional toll, and the new format will give them more time to recover between tournaments. Another change due next year, matches will be played at a neutral site, and American tennis player Mike Bryan said that is the only downfall for him. He is quoted as saying, "The number one thing I would miss is playing those home ties in front of your home fans. Hearing the USA chants, it's just the excitement and the energy that it brings. It's unlike any match on tour." The United States Tennis Association has said the new format will project Davis Cup into the 21st century and elevate the competition to the heights it deserves. In November, I'll bring you results from the Davis Cup final, so stay tuned. Sonny, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In pro boxing, Mexican star Saul Canelo Alvarez narrowly defeated Kazakhstan's Gennady Triple G Golovkin by majority decision over the weekend in an eagerly awaited world middleweight title rematch in Las Vegas, Nevada. One judge scored it a draw, 114-114, while the two others had Canelo winning 115-113. At the post-fight news conference, Triple G's promoter, Tom Loeffler, had this to say.
We respect the judge's decision. We thought the Nevada Athletic Commission did a very fair job in officiating the fight. And so we got to give a lot of credit to Canelo. As Abel says, Canelo fought the fight that he promised that the fans that he would fight. The first fight was a great fight. This fight was a more entertaining fight. Two of the best fighters in their division, two of the best fighters in the sport, fighting at such a high level. Both guys were cut in the fight. It was a lot of action in the rounds. And like I said, nobody doesn't feel that Triple G is a champion right now.
It was Triple G's first professional loss after 38 wins and one draw. That draw came against Canelo last year at the same T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Canelo, meanwhile, captured 3 world title belts and improved his record to 50 victories, 1 defeat, and 2 draws. There's already talk there might be a third fight between Canelo and Triple G. And that wraps up the September 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the African Capacity Building Foundation, the Africa Union's specialized agency for capacity development, has coordinated programs worth $700 million since 1991. The African Capacity Building Foundation, on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we'll have an exclusive interview with Melinda Gates, co-founder of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London!
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for VOA's discussion program, Reporters Roundtable, every Thursday at 1730 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas and take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA.
When news breaks, VOA News is there.
VOA.
Around the clock, listen to VOA newscasts on the top of each hour, along with our detailed news shows and analysis.
VOA News. We're online at voanews.com.
At voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.